Sure, we can talk a little bit about that, but let me be clear that so there are some slowdowns in the system because of, you know, the sheer volume and of the retirements that are out there and the number of steps in the process. But the like the director position, for instance, we as I've said to you at our meetings and as I've said at the NFB, as I've said in as many community conversations as I can, we really wanted to hear from you before we posted that position. We wanted to hear what the priorities were, what characteristics we were looking for. We wanted all of you to be involved in that. So it's not that it's been sitting there since Brian retired with no action. The action was for us to gather that information. And then we needed to be, for a lot of our positions, because we are we were created as an agency, a lot of our positions don't actually list our agency as an agency that can use that particular job classification. So for a number of our positions, we have had to either make changes to the title or we've had to make some changes to, you know, can we add aging and disability services to the classification? Because the position had not been vacated since we became an agency. So we have a number of examples of those. So it's hard to talk exactly like this is the step-by-step, Al, if that makes sense. But it does, many of them go through our internal process, which means they get entered by the particular bureau that is requesting the change. It gets reviewed from a fiscal perspective to make sure that we have the funds to support it. Then it gets signed off by me as the agency head and goes back to get entered into our state's HR system, which is full. From there, it goes to the Office of Policy Management for a sign-off, again, for they make sure that from a fiscal perspective, there's all of that information there. And then anything that requires a class change also has to go to our Department of Administrative Services. When we get it back, we work on our preferred qualifications, we post the job, we have the posting up for a couple of weeks, and then we do an interview panel and hopefully fill the position. So I don't know, Cheryl or Andrew, if I missed big steps in that.
No, that's a great overview, Amy. What I do want to add is while this position is currently in the queue for approval, we are simultaneously working on the posting language and interview questions so that once the position is approved, we are ready to roll with the posting. And again, I think Amy already said this, but I want to reiterate, I'm really appreciative of all the input that came through the survey that we conducted because we did use that information in the posting. We took some of that language and used it in the posting for description and the preferred qualifications. So I want to thank you for your input into that process. And I also just want to throw this out while I'm thinking of it. You know, I called for that information, I think I named a date a few weeks ago, but I just want to let everyone know that that conversation or that ability to respond or kind of let us know what your questions are, any feedback, does not ever end. So even though that survey went out and I did put an end date for the purpose of informing some of our processes here, I just want to let you know that that conversation does not end, whether it's in that exact format or you having the ability to always weigh in and ask questions and contribute. So I appreciate that. Thanks. I think that's it, Amy.
Thank you, Al, Amy, and Cheryl. There is one more question I would like to ask, and that is, what are the agency's plans to ensure that FSB maintains its identity as a unique unit that the community can count on as something that is unique and not just something that's been integrated to ADS? By that, I mean, there are certain aspects of integration that are positive, certainly, but I think the main concern among the community is that FSB maintain its identity to the extent possible within the context of its status as a subunit in ADS.
Yeah, thank you for that, Al. You know, right now we're looking at our organizational structure, and I can tell you that we will continue to look at our organizational structure because, as I mentioned, things continue to evolve, right? So when we start to hear needs that are for older adults, we also have our state unit on aging here in the Department of Aging and Disability Services. We have a long-term care ombudsman program for individuals who are residing in nursing facilities or assisted living facilities or residential care homes. So what I don't want to do is say we're going to leave everything exactly the same and lose the ability to leverage those. But right now, the structure has BSBE as a separate entity, you know, within the department, just like the Bureau of Rehabilitation Services and the State Unit on Aging. Until we have a need to make some organizational changes, we're not going to do that. But I am going to tell you that we will keep looking at that, and not just for BSBE, but for all of our departments. If you think about the fact that we might have, you know, I don't know, 30% of our staff retired, we're going to need to think about how to continue to provide quality services for individuals with disabilities and older adults here in Connecticut. But we want to do that through ADS, and we want to find the most efficient and effective way to do that. Right now, I think having BSBE and having our the programs that we have, they seem responsive to the needs. There are some things that we may need to change in that moving forward, but I think right now they seem to be responsive to the needs that you've all identified, but we'll continue to ask those questions. I think that's part of my job. It's part of your job as an advisory board to kind of make sure that we stay current, make sure that we're leveraging the partnerships that we have naturally within our department, and then leveraging the partnerships that we have throughout, you know, the human service agencies in Connecticut, and make sure that people with disabilities here in Connecticut get the best services possible and older adults get the best services possible. So I will continue to rely on all of you to provide that feedback and let me know what's working and not working.
Thank you, Amy. with that, I think Beth, was it you who had a question?
I had a couple questions. You've answered some of them, thank you. To Amy, I suppose. Some of us don't need one-on-one training, and we're hoping to speed up this process. Some of us are willing to come in as a small group and work on, like, specific issues, like maybe an iPhone or house help with independence, instead of always just being one-on-one, and that takes up a lot of time and training. But both is essential, probably. We're also disappointed that we're no longer in the loop on the internet with these job openings. We'd like to be able to share them. We used to gather the information all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Beth. Sorry, this is Amy. So I guess I'm not really sure about that second part. You have reached out, asked us if we would share the postings, and we've said that we would. So I think we're waiting for most of our postings to go up and live, and when they do, we will share them with you. So I guess I'm not sure that there's a gap there. I think it's just that we don't have the postings up and running yet. So when we get those, we should share them.
I thought you already had some up on that were already listed, and you had interviews already for different positions that we didn't
Beth, thank you for the question. I think I did mention that the rehab teacher and the rehab technologist positions are posted. I'll be sure to circle back with Chris here and also with our HR people to be sure that when we know those are posted, and we have to post to the DAS site, the Department of Administrative Services, and then from there are able to send out information. So Beth, let me circle back on those two positions. I think those are the only two that are up so far.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and we'll make sure we build that into the process, Beth, because I remember specifically you reaching out, and we had someone else from NFB Connecticut reach out as well, and we did commit to doing that. So we'll make sure that that happens.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if you'll question from the public, at your discretion.
I prefer to have the board members offer their questions first, and then once we vote around with the board members, I'd like to give the public an opportunity first. So let's reserve this round for board members. Any board members who would like to ask a question of Amy, Cheryl, or Andrew?
Yes, this is Eileen Akers. Relevant to the point that Beth just made, you said this information would be circulated. Who is it circulated to? And please, members of the NFB of Connecticut, I don't mean to be offensive, and that's not what I'm trying to do. But for the survey, for example, the only entity that I know of that received information about the survey was the NFB of Connecticut. And so I'm just concerned about the extent of the outreach, including these job postings.
Eileen, thank you for that comment. So I would be happy to take any input on how we get this information out in a way that's, more effective. You know, we're kind of building this plane as it's flying here. So if you have specific recommendations, I am very open to them. And I know you're not shy. So just let us know, who to get them up to and how to do that.
Fair enough. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Yes.
Alan, Stephen Thal.
Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. One is, are we also, when we're recruiting, are we sending these out to where people who are blind can apply for the positions? I notice in the past we haven't had too many people who are blind and qualified for the position. What's happening with that? I mean, do they go out to the programs, like we have teaching program at UMass and so on?
Yeah,
that's one question. And the other thing is, I'm concerned about making sure that we have assistants that are able to drive these people for their work or get them out in the field. I noticed that we have a very low staff of assistance that can help them get out in the field, and I'm wondering what your reaction is to that.
So thank you, Steve, for the questions. So we do have a list, depending on what the positions are that we're posting. We do send out, if it's a posting that's open to the public, we have a way to include different groups on the recruitment. So the training programs like the one at UMass that you mentioned is definitely on the list. We also send it out to like the voc rehab programs for the blind throughout the country. We try to send it out. We have a list of particular outreach entities that are both in-state and nationwide. So we can continue to do that. And as I said to Eileen, if there's particular groups, I think the way that the state has structured the job postings now through, it's all through DAS, but they are doing some customized recruitment, and it does allow us to, forward that information on. So if you have particular groups that you have in mind beyond the ones you mentioned, feel free to reach out and let Cheryl know, and she can add those to the list. As for the rehab technologists, as for the special assistants, we do, when we hire individuals who are blind, we make sure that we have accommodations available, depending on what the needs of that individual are. So I'm not going to say we're going to hire up additional special assistants now for the potential. So we do that based on the needs of the individual. So hopefully we will have additional individuals with disabilities as part of our our pools as we're interviewing for these positions, but positions throughout aging and disability services. And we'll, you know, we're committed as an agency to providing the accommodations people need to be successful in their jobs. That's a very individualized process, though.
Okay, thank you. I have one final question. Has the survey gone out to the staff, because they're working this day to day, and many people probably are feeling the pressure of the unfilled positions, and I'm wondering if you or Cheryl will be setting up a Zoom meeting with the staff to give them the confidence to continue through the process. We all know it's very challenging, but many, from what I understand, are putting in a lot of extra hours and to try to make the system work. And I think some sort of Zoom meeting by you and Cheryl should let them know what's going on and that the work that they're doing is greatly appreciated. We shouldn't assume anything here, because I don't want to get to the point where we get more people leaving because they can't, the pressure, or if they're looking for a better opportunity. That's my concern.
Yeah, thanks for that, Steve. I appreciate your concern for the staff. I also share your concerns for our staff. We have, I am fortunate to help manage this agency of incredibly talented, incredibly dedicated, incredibly passionate staff. And I feel very fortunate for the folks that we have. And I think you're right, people are feeling pressure. I try when I can to stop by and check in with people in different parts of our agency. And they are feeling this, right? As I said, like our state unit on aging, we lost half of our staff. Our fiscal unit, we lost half of our staff. So checking in with people and figuring out what we're doing, I think, is something we need to continue to do. Our executive team is meeting today to talk a little bit about kind of how we think about strategic planning moving forward, how we support our staff moving forward. So that's kind of from a global perspective, but let me turn it over to Cheryl to talk about what she's already done with staff and how she's engaging them through the process. So Cheryl.
Thanks, Amy, and thank you, Stephen, for that question. Yeah, again, to echo Amy, she always says it much better than I can, but I'm really concerned for all of our staff, and I have a lot of contacts across the state as well, and everybody's feeling the pressure of what's happening. But here at Besby specifically, we've had several opportunities and vehicles by which the staff has been able to participate in the survey, so to say. We've had some in-house mechanisms set up over a couple of months that people were able to participate. The program leads each got the survey the same as you received, that staff were able to contribute to. Again, that survey is accessible and anonymous. And again, it's a continuing conversation. It's not something that ends. And much like Amy, I'm here in the office more often than not. I get around the building to see people who are coming in on their office days. I've taken part in some of the team meetings. So I try to be as accessible as possible to our people. I have an open door. People have scheduled either team meetings or in-person meetings with me. There's been a lot of conversation for our staff, and that will not end. So thank you.
Well, my final comment is, I think it would be helpful if you, Amy, would take 10 minutes from your busy schedule and just do an early Zoom meeting, have everybody, not necessarily in the office, but on Zoom, or however they get in, and just reassure them. I think coming from the commissioner would go beyond.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So I try to send out emails, you know, to all staff. We do struggle a little bit with the virtual technology in our department because of the various accommodations that individuals need. Teams works okay for some. Zoom works okay for some. Some of our staff can't access either one. And so what I have done to this point is try to send emails that everybody can access. So I appreciate that, and we are working on trying to find a platform, a virtual platform that's a little more accessible to everybody. But right now, that's something we struggle with. I regret that we struggle with that because it's very frustrating as an agency head to not be able to communicate with all of my staff at the same time and have this kind of a forum. So it's something we continue to work on, and I continue to, I don't want to say whine about, but there's a little bit of whining that goes on when I'm like, what do you mean we can't get support for that? So I appreciate the feedback, and hopefully the staff, you know, appreciate the emails that they're getting, because, you know, it's the one thing that's accessible to everybody at this point. So thanks, and we'll continue to work on that.
This is Catherine Guzman. May I say something?
I'm sorry. Hold on, Catherine. I'm sorry. I apologize, but I see that Mary Silverberg has had her hand up for a while, and if this were real life, her hand would be awfully tired. So, if you don't mind, I'll let Mary go, and then you can ask your question after Mary does.
All right. Thank you, Al. Amy, what you just said is so relevant. I could feel my blood pressure rise as I was listening. Because your frustration about reaching your full staff internally, think about it for a second. That is, it's astronomical when you think about what the same thing happens on the outside, except you have the skills, the technology skills, and you have vision. Most of us don't have vision, or it's limited, and for us to operate, not just to operate on the outside with the world, it is extremely frustrating. I'm used to Zoom, you use Teams. Everybody uses something different, everybody has different devices. We don't all have equal accessibility or the skills to use all of those technologies. That is an extremely important and frustrating point, I think, for all of us at some level. And we have to recognize it and acknowledge that we have to do something about it. I would like to comment on Steve when he was talking about recruitment groups. Yeah, it sounds like we are reaching more and more people about filling the positions at BSB, but I think sometimes it's a matter of communication too. This happened with us with the library, the state library, and I think I've discussed this with Cheryl as well. If people are in the dark and they have no clue as to what's going on, or if they lack any understanding at all about process, procedures, they think the worst, because let's face it, what we can imagine is a lot more interesting and lurid, if you will, than the absolute facts about how a process works. And whether that's with internally with staff or externally with the world, people do need to have some level of understanding of what your needs are in trying to meet our needs. I would not like to lose sight of that. And the last thing I'd like to comment on is what Deb Reed said earlier. There are many of us who our situation with vision is congenital. We got used to it early on, and every few years have to learn to deal differently with the world. But you have people in their 50s who are the employment-wise, reshaping not just their careers, but their whole lives. You have people in their 70s and 80s who are still living and kicking it, but they don't have the skills. I'm going to include myself in there because I'm in there. Don't necessarily have all the skills that we all need to meet our own needs and be involved and engaged in the world. And there, I think large group forget where a lot of people are lost. And the older we get, the less flexible we become mentally. There are very few Helen Kellers in the world. Most of us are not in that category. And a lot of times we need individual assistance with technology. As Kristen said earlier, with Braille. If someone is able to learn that in their 70s or 80s, God bless them, because it's not easy. But I having health services and providing what aging people need. And here is, I agree with you, Cheryl, this is a golden opportunity for BESBE in the reshaping of how you do business to reach clients, because let's face it, aging and the disability, when you're in your 70s and 80s and 90s and you can no longer engage with the world, you become a bigger burden to yourself, your family, and society. So I would really urge you to keep that in major consideration. I thank you.
Mary, thank you for all those comments. And, you know, again, the filling in what is in the vacuum, right? If people aren't included in the conversation, you're right. They create really interesting things that are going on that have really no connection to what's actually happening. And that's part of, you know, why I'm here today. I had plans this morning. I had told Alan that I wasn't going to be able to join. This is important to me. It's important that you all have a chance to hear what we're thinking about, hear what our challenges are, that we hear from you what your biggest concerns are, and continue to move forward together. So I think that is something that was important to me. And, you know, Cheryl and Andrew would have ably represented our department, but, you know, it was something that I wanted to make sure I was here. And I think it sounds like we share a lot of the same concerns around technology, around accessibility, around communication, and around making sure that we're addressing the needs of folks who may be facing different issues than they did pre-pandemic, and they may be facing issues as they deal with both having both a disability and aging at the same time. So I appreciate those comments, and thank you for that.
Amy, if I can just add, Mary, thank you as well. And I can't reiterate this enough, please. I've talked to a few of you one-on-one, and I really have appreciated those conversations, have taken copious notes and aligned what I could with our conversations here. But please know that my door is open, my phone is open, my email is open, my teams are open. I will come out. Yesterday I took a drive down to Bridgeport to meet with our Department of Labor, AJC, American Job Center partners, to see how we can improve relationships. So I just wanted to reiterate that the channel of communication is open, and we need to continue to hear from you so that we are keeping up to snuff with all that you are experiencing. So thank you.
And let me just add, you know, I know I didn't talk about this today. I've talked about it in all the previous communications that we had, but just to remind people of Cheryl's role. So, you know, Brian left, and obviously there was quite a void, right? And we wanted to be able to continue to manage BESBE services to make sure people were continuing to get services without interruption while we move forward in trying to figure out what our new services looked like and getting the position posted and ready. So we have incredible supervisors and, as I said, incredible staff throughout BESBE that have been able to keep things going, but we needed somebody in a leadership position to be able to do the community conversations, to be able to pull some of these pieces together, to gather all of your input, to do the survey pieces that she did. So I know there's been some concern, like, well, why is Cheryl here and why is she here for just a short amount of time? Like, why would you do that? Well, we did it because we needed, you know, Andrew has a job, the supervisors all have a job, and we needed somebody who could support them as they did their job so they could continue to provide uninterrupted services. So Cheryl came in to assist me with that, specifically to be able to gather some of this input, not just to manage BESBE, because our team was doing a great job with that, but really to provide them with the support and to listen to all of you. So I hope that helps fill in the gap, because I've heard people say, like, well, why did you put somebody temporary in there? Why would you do that? Well, that's why I did it. It was a very, you know, purposeful move. So I just want to let you know that.
Sorry, this is Catherine Guzman. This actually has a little bit to do with what I'm going to talk about, if I may have a moment, Alan.
Go ahead, Catherine, the floor is yours.
Thank you. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the parent rep for the board. I'm